Eyes fixed. Don't know if you've been to the eye doctor. Some of you have perfect vision. My vision is better than it's supposed to be. I am grateful to God for that. I had an eye doctor optometrist tell me just 3 months ago, "Larry, you've got the eyes of a teenager." And I said, "So why am I wearing these?" "Well, you can't focus real good." So he did the flipping around and he got the right thing, and I can focus better with a pair of glasses. Some of you aren't wearing glasses. You're just cheating because you got contacts in and nobody knows you need glasses. It's okay. Focus is incredible. You ever get up and run into the wall because you didn't see it coming? Go down the road on a foggy or icy morning and your windshield and everything is out of focus. And you've got this little fine line in the middle that you can see through and you're watching for the road that way. That's not real good, but we know what we're talking about, don't we? Okay, this thing wants to have fun. There we go. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go there first. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to take you back into 2 Kings in just a moment. Just hang in there with me. I'm reading, listen to this. This is the NIV, New International Version. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." What'd you say, Scott? It's not about you, me, Lily, your sweetheart. It's about Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners," those he died for, "so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." There's a translation out there. It's called The Passion. And here's what it says. "As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like a cloud," like this morning, like little Lily. "So we must let go." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let go." Come on, that is it. I mean, Sherry's right. You got to let go and trust God. You can't let go and take hold of God with something in your hands. Let go. Wow. "Of every wound." Ooh, ouch. You didn't read that part before I said let go. "I'm not so sure I want to forgive them. You don't know how bad they hurt me." Am I telling it like it is? "Every wound that has pierced us." Some things don't prick us on the outside. They stab us in the heart. I know I've told Ruthie before, somebody will say something and I go, ooh, like that when they're gone. And I'll pull it out. And I said, "Is the knife still bloody?" Because I'm bleeding. Wounds are real. We all get wounded. That's why he was bruised for our iniquities, chastised that we might have peace. "So we easily fall into, then when we will be able to run like life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out for us." We look away from the natural realm, there's that focus, that vision, and we fasten, there's a good way to look at that, fixed, fasten our gaze on Jesus, who birthed faith within us. Oh, wait a minute. He did that? He birthed faith in me. So this isn't me at all. And I can trust what I feel, what I know in my heart, and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God, right hand being authority. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's go there. With that in mind, being focused. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Elisha said to Elijah, "You have asked a difficult thing." You see, sometimes all we see is the results. We don't see the night of agony. We don't see the intense prayer. We don't see the moments when things did not work out our way, and every one of us have. We don't see when the bruises and the wounds took place. We just see the redemptive. We just see the transformed. We see all of that. But on the natural, Elijah is trying to tell Elisha something here. Wait a minute. What you asked for is difficult. "You have asked for a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me," see, there's a word. "If you focus, you see me, when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." What's he saying? What's Elijah saying to Elisha? Keep your eyes on the prize. You want a double portion? You better stay focused on me. Now, you're still wondering about that question I asked. As they were walking along and talking together, here we go. This is life. As they were walking and talking, life happens. A chariot of fire comes down out of heaven. Look at it. Fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two men. The chariot rode in between Elisha and Elijah. Well, I told you he went in a chariot of fire. You better stay focused. Elijah went up to heaven in a, I guess God would know how he took Elijah, wouldn't he? It wasn't a chariot. That chariot was just a demonstration of God's mighty power, and it was some way, a way of getting Elisha to really grow up, to really man up, to be the person that God called him, to be focused on the one he needed to be focused on. And today I remind you, this is just an Old Testament illustration of what we need to do when it comes to focusing on Jesus. And you'll have a lot of things happen, even miraculous. I have been in many church revivals. I believe we are coursing our way into and through the greatest thing that this whole valley has ever seen, and we're going to be a part of it. But you get your eyes on the prize. It's not the miracles. It's not the revival. It's not the overwhelming crowds. It's not any of that. It's Jesus. He is the answer. He saved you. He gave his life for you. And then he gave you faith to believe if you will just accept. That's incredible. What a God of mercy. What a God of grace. What a God of love. So the fire and horses, the chariot appeared and separated the two of them. Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. I don't know how you want to go to heaven someday. Burl and I have talked about this because we had a dear lady that we would talk to. She's home with Jesus now. She beat us. She got there sooner than we did, Rena. And we would discuss over and over again how we were going to heaven. And Burl and I would tease her a little bit and say, you know, when Burl started it, she said, you know, when I go to heaven, I'm going to do a couple of flips. And I said, okay, I'll join you. That sounds good. when you're raptured, just kind of fly around, you know, like those guys do without a parachute. They just spread their wings and fly. Well, we're going to spread our wings and get out of here, but we better be careful. If at that point your eyes are not on Jesus, we're not going anywhere. Haven't heard that preached in a while, have you? We get focused on so many things. Oh, I love the worship, and I do. I love what God is doing through the spirit of worship. Oh, I love the teaching. I love the small groups. I'm learning. I'm growing. I love the discipleship. I love. And that's what we call church. I hope what people know when they see you and when they see me. Wow, that guy loves Jesus. Often I try not to introduce myself, other than I'm Larry. I like to be your friend and that kind of thing, but not necessarily as pastor. I don't hold it back, but I don't necessarily do it. And then people will say, what is it about you? Because it opens the door to witness. The same thing that it is about you. You're focused on Jesus, focused on the prize, the good God that has called us. My father, Elijah went up to heaven, and Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, okay, God. The chariots and the horses of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Verse 13, Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak, rolled it up so he could pop it real good, that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water. Where now is the Lord? Right question. Good. Struck the water. The Lord God of Elijah. And it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. There's a lot of faith there. One, you've got to roll up the robe and you've got to crack the water. Two, you've got to step in between these two walls of water and walk across on dry ground. Three, you got to hold on to that cloak because God had given a promise to Elisha from Elijah. Do you know that you follow that whole story? Read about it. Maybe we will go a little deeper. But if you go into the New Testament, there was a dead man. They were doing a funeral. And they went to Elisha's grave. And they threw that body. That's what they did. That's how they buried people. They threw that body in the grave. And it said that body hit bones. And the man stood up. He was raised from the dead and walked out. Guess what? If you count up Elijah's miracles, go through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and you put it all together, and then you walk through the rest of Elisha's life, he almost doubled everything Elijah did. Did you know that? And at the end, when Elisha's dead and gone, God's promises are always fulfilled. That dead man walked, and guess what? That was the last and final of double everything Elijah did. And the miracle of raising the dead. Just hold on. Believe God. Trust Him. Keep your eyes focused. Now let's go with that focus, and let's go into the New Testament. Matthew 14. Come on. You're going to love this because you've heard it time and time again, and this is the conclusion. This is where we need to come to. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat. How about you? What would you do? If you say you would be that person, that's wonderful, but the other disciples did not move. And they watched and heard everything. But Peter jumped out of the boat. And he walked on water with the Lord. But when he, what's the word here? I got it in big, bold caps here. But when he saw the wind, what happened? He got his focus off of the Redeemer. He was afraid and began to sink and cry out. You know what? I got news for you. I don't think God plays games with us. I don't think he just kind of dunked Peter around and made him, you know, make a confession here. I don't even believe Peter began to sink. I think Peter saw the waves and he thought, this is too much. I'm not going to survive. But it says that Jesus took him by the hand and walked him to the shore. He never left him. Where are you? Are you focused? Fixed means focused on an object. In this case, Jesus. Elijah, circumstance, he was focused on Elijah. In your situation, what do you need to focus on? Our doctrine of salvation, our doctrine of divine healing, all of those are good scriptures, the Word of God. Listen, if you don't get it, it's all about Jesus. You can read and read and read, and it's not going to change you. But once your eyes get focused, oh, remember those people in the boat? They thought it was a ghost. Jesus thought it was the Messiah because he was focused at that point. How do you focus? Squint your eyes. Try to, oh boy, I can't see very well. Pull them sideways. Move your glasses, if you're my age, up and down so you get the bifocal thing that nobody knows about because they don't do lines in glasses anymore. Thank God. I'd probably have 3 trifocals. Squinting, washing your eyes, that's not a bad thing. But maybe it's the cleansing and washing of our heart we need. And then we wipe our eyes again. But you know what you really need to do? You have to let your eyes do the work. If they don't focus, you're not going to go there. You have to let them work. Would you allow the scripture that God said, I have put faith in you to trust me and receive what my Son has done for you? Would you allow that to open your heart and your eyes today? So that you might see and have clear vision. Healthy eyes see clearly. Open eyes are the only way to see. If you can't close them, you can't squint, you're not going to get there. Concentration on an object or an objective where we want to go, that's vitally important. So, last question. Who are you watching? Who are you watching? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So the early church was challenged to keep focused on the Apostle Paul. No, that's not true. The early church was challenged to look through the Apostle Paul because we are more transparent than we realize. You ever hear anybody say, I can see right through you? Know what I'm talking about? I see your motives. I can see right through you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Stephen, a disciple that was not receiving the best welcome on the planet, was being stoned to death. And on his knees, bleeding, dying. Imagine that. He looks, the Bible says, he looked up into heaven. And he said, I see Jesus. I think I'd want to see Jesus too if I was being stoned, persecuted. I see Jesus, and I see him so well that he's standing. Pretty focused, isn't it? At the Father's right hand. You know what that means? You got the throne room and everything, and Jesus on the right hand of the Father sitting there. When Stephen looked up, focused on who he needed to be focused on that day, in the midst of dying, he looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing. What did we start today with? This has been ordered of God. Open doors. God opened the door so that we might see him, that we might share him. I welcome you to his presence.